All right. Show me your Bibles. Just raise your Bible up. Let me look at all the Word. It's going to be relevant. Always, always, always keep the Word of God in your possession. Throw it on the dash of your truck. We have cowboy Bibles. There's paperback. If they get a little stained up, that's good. A friend of mine said one time, a Bible that's torn apart is a life that's not. Because you get into that Word of God, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I was praying and believing God, I have no idea where this is going this morning. But how many of you know God does? I've got 16 different directions I can go in here. So I don't know which one we're going to get to, but I want to minister something to you that I believe is really, really, really important in these days. Now, I think we've been saying that for a long time. I remember preachers back when saying, get ready, the Lord is about to return. And it's true because God is not measured in time. Matter of fact, His time is way different. I know there's some scripture that says 1,000 years is as of a day, as a day, one day is as of 1,000 years to God. And so 1,000 years being a day to God is nothing. To us, you know, that seems like an eternity. But really, in God's ways, it's not. We're going to be spending eternity with Him. But as we live here on this earth, and we do a lot of things because of time, we have a 24-hour time schedule. We go to bed at night, we wake up in the morning, and some get up early, and some, like my son, get up late. But it's always usually on because of some type of time, you know. We've got to get up, we've got to do this, etc. But in these days, we're living in a time, in a season. That's why it was so important for us to gather hands and not stop until that rain comes. I mean, we're going to keep believing God because we're going to call the rain in. Last time I did that in Dattle, New Mexico, it hadn't rained and they were fixing to sell all those ranches come once a year, and I do a big camp meeting in New Mexico up there in the ranch, the elk country, where they hunt lots of elk. Big, that's about unit 15 and 16 and 13, all in that area, man, known for big, massed elk. And so they, as we was doing one, it's been about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, they come to me and says, man, we haven't gotten rain in a long time, and it looks like all these ranches are going to have to start selling everything. We can't make it. I said, well, why don't we just gather hands then? Was you there? Wasn't you? I don't think you were there that year. And we just gathered hands just like we did in here. I'm telling you, the next week it started flooding. Why? Because we began to petition heaven. And we got to start believing for these things. Because in the times that we're in, we need God. We need the Word of God. And so check out chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians says, now concerning, and I got the, by the way, if you don't know, I have a parallel Bible that I preach in. I've been preaching in it for a long, long time. Has the King James Version on the left. I would like the King James because it's just been around the longest and it stood the test of time. But I also have the Amplified beside it because I test them. You know, the King James, when you translate it into English or translate it into whatever, you always got to make sure it lines up with, you know, not just one scripture lining up with your belief, but it better line up with all the scriptures. Let me help you out. Y'all that are new, this is how it will help you understand the Bible, is this right here. God is good. The devil is bad. Say that with me. God is good. So everything that is good comes from God. Yeah, but God killed all those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. No, He didn't. Sin killed them. Sin is what did it. Sin is what caused the flood, for God to cause the flood to come. It wasn't God just saying, you know, I just feel like killing someone today. No. Sin is what did it. And we're seeing sin abound like we've never seen. I take that back. Sin's always been around. We just see it a lot more nowadays. You know, we see what's happening in our government. And we, you know, you see it a lot faster now. So even though sin's abounding, what abounds much more? Grace. Amen. So I'm going to read out of the King James, and I might even read a little bit out of the Amplified, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse 3, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God... If I was you, I'd underline that. No man speaking by this, the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. In other words, if Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're led by His Spirit, you would never be tempted to curse our God. Not if you're led by His Spirit, you see. Now, keep reading. That no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. I like actually what it says in mine, but by the Holy Ghost. So don't get scared about the Holy Ghost. Now there were diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So God's trying to get something to us, y'all. The Spirit of God. Just because there was people raised Baptist or Methodist or Catholic, born again Catholic, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Church of Christ, it does not matter what one was raised. All of it is done, if Jesus is Lord, by the same Spirit. There's not two different spirits. Well, we believe this, and we are not going to believe that. No. If you start tapping into the Word of God, you'll find out all of it is done by the Spirit of God. And now we're talking about spiritual gifts for a second. And it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there's differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man that profits withal. For to one, and then it begins to lay them out a little bit right here. To one is given by the Spirit, remember, it's the same Spirit of God, the same Holy Ghost. That's why Glenn Smith, who really pioneered the cowboy movement in the 70s, he's the one that took me and our family under his wings and just really started teaching us, just about cowboy ministry and teaching the Word of God. And I mean, he was the one that God used to start the movement of God in the rodeo world, in the Western world, and horse shows and cuttings and all the things of Western. He started the National Final Service in Oklahoma City before it moved to Las Vegas. He started the first church service at Cheyenne, the daddy of them all, at Salinas, California. I mean, lots of rodeos. He was the one God used. And he always told me, as he asked me to come do music for him, as we would minister all over the country, he said, your job is to sing, shut up, and sit down. And the reason that he would tell us music ministers that is because if we started talking, introducing songs, since it's the same Spirit of God, the same Holy Ghost, I would probably start preaching his message. Okay, keep that in mind now. So for one, verse 8, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. You see what it keeps saying, trying to get across to us? To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. I mean, there's people that is their gifting is healing, man. And you want to find those people out if you're sick. You want them laying their hands on you because God has given them that. Now, yeah, we want them all. But God's given every single one of us a gifting of some sort. Now, I'm not talking about one of the fivefold gifts that you're standing up here behind a podium to preach or to teach or to evangelize or to apostle or to prophet. No, you may not be pastor in a church, but wherever your influence is if it's at your job or at the ranch or the farm or wherever you're at school, you have been called to do something, and there's a gifting that God has gifted you with. You just got to figure out and submit to that gifting. Now check this out. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. I mean, those are the people that, man, they don't have any doubt. They just have faith that things are going to work out, praise God. They're positive. That's why I don't understand. Excuse me. Bad mouth in any kind of preacher. I'm telling you, Joel Osteen is a man of God. And he preaches with his style of being a positive person, speaking truth so that you won't give up. And just because he don't preach on sin constantly doesn't mean he is a fake motivational speaker only. Even though the whole Word of God is motivation to live by His Word. Don't you dare talk about some man of God. The Bible says, touch not God's anointing. The media makes up a whole bunch of junk out there, y'all. All right, let's move on. So another faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Uh-oh. You know, I've known some denominations that don't think that there's prophets anymore. Yo mama. There's a lot of them. You know what they are, though? Then they speak the Word of God. Okay, to another, discerning of spirits. I want to be around those people because they're the ones that, man, they can discern. They don't ever get into messes. They discern, uh-oh, that's bad, back off. Don't do that. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Oh, wow. Being raised in the Baptist church, we never talked about that tongue stuff. To another, interpretation. Okay, let me stop real fast. Let me teach something just quickly. Because a lot of people think when someone delivers the tongue, it has to be someone else that interprets it. Or they think the opposite. If they give the tongue, they need to interpret it. So don't get hung up on that. If someone delivers a message in tongues inspired by the same Spirit of God, right? Then it might be them that interprets it. It might be someone else that has that gifting. And so don't get hung up on that, because notice what the Word of God says here. It says, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of the tongue. So it doesn't, don't get hung up on who delivers the interpretation of a tongue. Just thank God it's by the same Spirit. Okay? But all these works, the one and the same Spirit dividing to every man severally as He wills. For as the body is one, underline that, and hath many members. So if you're born again, you're in the body, right? It has many members. All of the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Also Christ. Now, I want to stop there because we need to now go to where the meat of this message is. Because we're now, all of this is talking about being in the body and doing whatever those giftings are. Be a part of the body. It doesn't matter if you're not behind here preaching the Word of God. You are called to do something. The thing here, though, that God's trying to get across to us is all of it is by the same Spirit of God. He may have you doing something that the next guy just doesn't have the gifting to do. I hear a lot, well, I just don't have the gifting to minister to the children's church. If it was me, I would grow in that area. Because if you just have the ministry of love, you can teach those kids something. So don't use those excuses of no, I just want to do this one thing. But you may need to be called in some areas of gifting that you're not really comfortable with. But I do understand that we're called with, man, some strong, giftings in our lives. And if it's healing, then that, man, you need to tap into that and start laying hands on as many people as you can. If it's prophecy, then man, you need to speak the word. But listen, if you speak the word of God to us in a prophetic way, we're going to be listening. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, and if it doesn't line up with how good God is, and it's speaking death on us or blessings, and then trying to, say that, well, but you'll still be in joy even though you're going to go bankrupt, then we're not going to receive that. So make sure you line it up with the Word of God. But you have a gifting that all of us need to get into. But here's the message. All of us need to be in the body and in unity. Forget about denomination. Forget about how you were raised. Live by this Word of God. Thank God for the Baptists, man. They teach salvation. But then there's something more than just putting on a helmet of salvation, because you've got to get the whole body of armor on. And there's something about being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want that prayer language that no man can understand but God. Because if no one can understand it, then the devil can't understand it. And only God can understand it. So we fought against that for so long as believers. But today, the day we're living in, the time we're living in, we need unity of faith. We need to stop fighting. We need to know that we're all members of the family of God. We're all members of God's body. And we've got to start doing things so that we can accomplish what God's called us to do. You are not here just to sit in this church and get fed a good message and then leave and not do something for God. I mean, I know it's a great thing to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. But there's something else about knowing who you are in Christ, so that when all hell breaks loose in your marriage or in your life or in your family or in your business or whatever it is, you'll know what to do. So here's what we do. So we've established that we're all in the body. Say amen to that. God's called all of us to do something and has given us all gifts. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, God has gifted you in some way. It might just be a word of encouragement to someone. How many of you know that's prophetic? Just being the light of Jesus. Hey, Jesus loves you. And that one spoken word, man, can change someone's lives. So it doesn't have to be teaching the Word of God or, just healing or whatever. But there's something for all of us to do. All right, now, real fast, since I don't have much time left. Man, it goes fast. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy real fast, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here is the basis of this message. Now, we've just established that all of us are called and gifted in some area. And you've got to get alone with God and spend enough time with Him that He'll show you what your gifting is. And most of you probably already know what your gifting is. We've just got to tap into it. Say amen if you're at 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing the second letter to Timothy. He's writing the same letter to you and me right now. He's writing this letter to us. And what does he say in verse 1? I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. You ready? Because here's the basis of this message. In the days that we're living in, when the enemy is attacking more than any other time, when we're in the end of the end times, when it seems like our country is going further away from God, what is going to save all of us in these last days? Verse 2, preach the word. Come on, y'all. Let me say it again, because I'm hoping you'll get more excited than you just were. Ready? Preach the word. Why don't you say that out of your mouth? Preach the word, not your opinion, not some man's doctrine, not some church's doctrine. You preach the word of God. Because if you're in unity and you're a part of the body of Christ, you're performing some gifting in the body of Christ, you're being the light of the world, you're praying and laying hands on the sick that Mark 16 says that they'll recover. You're being a vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ, submitted to Him to do whatever He wills. You have to do it by preaching the Word. That's all, that's what's going to save every single one of us in these days. Preach the Word. It says, be instant in season and out of season. In the Amplified, I like how it says, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand. Be at hand. It's like the soldier. You better be ready. You better be ready because the enemy could come over that hill at any time. Be ready. Have a sense of urgency. Be at hand. Be ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. See, we don't have time in these last days to ride the fence. We don't have time to wait for everything to be convenient before we speak the Word of God. No, we just got to speak the Word of God. I'm known in rodeo, professional rodeo, college rodeo, high school rodeo, rodeo of all kinds, as people run to me and not away from me. I've learned how to not run people off. But we're living in a time where we can't be afraid of running a few people off. We need to tell them the truth of the Word of God before it's too late. There's probably people in here that know someone that is dying in some way. The enemy has stolen and killed and destroyed something in their life. And I'm not just talking physical, because he's attacking marriages like you've never seen. Why? Well, because there's power in the agreement of a man, natural born man and a natural born woman being married. Amen. I had to say that. It's so crazy about, I'm telling you right now, there's two genders. Anyway. Okay. Let's just move on. Because there is. Okay. So it's talking about, look, preach this word. It doesn't matter if the opportunity is favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. As a preacher of the word, listen, it's not talking about just a fivefold preacher, even though he's talking to little Timothy, a pastor. He's teaching us to preach the word, because you've got to preach it in your own life. You may need to hear come out of your mouth, devil, get under my feet. You may need to speak the word of God and get delivered from all the attacks of that enemy. If you preach the word, you know what it says? No fiery dart will come near you. It won't penetrate you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through God because He loves me. I am the head and not the tail. All you're doing is preaching the word. You may be preaching it to yourself at times, but the only way to get out of anything and to see victory is to preach the Word of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above every circumstance. I can do it. Matter of fact, I've changed the I can to I will do it. Now, I'm not changing the Word. I'm just speaking what the Word says to me. I will do all things through Christ. I'm not going to waver from the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that's going to save all of us in these days. As a policeman in the Fort Worth area, he better be preaching the Word of God. He better be saying in the morning, I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray Psalms 91 over me. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. God's protection. Well, the protection is the Word. Amen. The Word is everything to us believers. The Bible says you'll fear no evil. And I'm here to tell you, the enemy does not like policemen. Matter of fact, they hate it. You know why? Because it's contrary to the kingdom of God. Order. Unity. You see. So don't come to me talking bad about a cop. We need them. And I think it's evident in these other crazy areas that are wanting to defund them. Now they're begging for them. Okay. I don't know why I got off on that. Probably because I saw a policeman. So. You see, when you preach the Word, though, let me close. When you herald it, when you're in season and out of season, you know what that means? You're going to have to start getting into this book. That's why we do Bible study on Tuesday, y'all. Is we're able to preach the Word. Preach the Word, and then you can raise your hand and say, "Well, I just don't understand that. Say that again." I mean, you can't do that here or it's out of order, right? But in Bible study, that's when you, man, I need that explained to me more. Is that for real that we don't have a spirit of fear and worry? I had someone tell me a long time ago, well, it's just natural to worry. Well, it is if you're in the kingdom of the world. But remember, if you're born again, you've been translated from that kingdom into God's kingdom. The kingdom of light through Jesus, the light. You're translated from the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom of light. I mean, you're not supposed to stay over there, because that's where fear and doubt and unbelief are. And you can, though. I mean, we live in the world. We're just not supposed to live of it. But you can live in it and of it if you want to. So the only thing that's going to save us is, again, preaching the Word of God. Why? Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's why it's crazy right now. I mean, being a believer in this world, when we believe in marriage between a man and a woman, ooh, Jesus. I mean, that gets protest at churches now. We're not against the person. We just understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against that spirit of darkness that's trying to, I mean, this really is what caused that Sodom and Gomorrah deal. Ooh, Jesus. I mean, it was very bad. I mean, the confusion that's out there today, y'all. Wow. Where I would have never dreamed in Liberty Hill, Texas, I would have to learn what a furry is. And there's a lot of people. Who doesn't know what a furry is? Look at that. Well, you should be a teacher. Because a furry is anybody that identifies as a dog or a cat or whatever. Matter of fact, a kid got suspended because he barked at the cat. You think I'm crazy? That's happening in Liberty Hill schools right now, and they're protected. Matter of fact, the school board just voted not very long ago if they were going to put litter boxes at the school. And you're thinking this is just funny. They're coming to school dressed as cats and dogs. You should ask your kids. They see it all the time. You see what's happening? We're living in a very crazy, crazy world. But listen, we're the only ones that are going to have to be the overcomers to preach the Word. Not out of hate, just standing up for what's right. We're not against the Word of God. We're going to do it out of love. But by golly, we're going to stand. And you can't just believe this stuff in here where there's unity. When we go out there, we've got to speak the Word of God out of love. Amen. We're not going to beat someone up. But by golly, we're going to teach them the truth of the Word of God, or they cannot be set free. What does the Bible say? It's the Word that is truth and makes us free. You're going to be around all this stuff, guys, where men are becoming women, and we know all the new stuff of the transgender swimmer. There's going to have to be someone preaching the Word. And you know why God's using the cowboy world? Because we're one of the last cultures of people that's still bold enough to preach the Word. But we've got to do it in unity, and we've got to do it out of love. We're not against those people. We're against the spirit that's behind the confusion. And we want them to go to heaven. But there's only one way to heaven, y'all. It's through Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. And I happen to just be a bold cowboy that I am not afraid to preach the Word. Persecution's already come to me. They've already made up all kinds of stuff about your pastor. I don't even take a salary, but this church has bought my house and all my horses. I wish. That would have been a blessing. They were expensive, and that house is expensive. Just put in the pool. Just ask my electrician who's putting lights up at the arena. It costs money, and I wish this church would pay for it. I remember one time they called us a beer-drinking church. I don't know where they got that. They thought, yeah, you just go to that church and they got beer and they just have a good old time in praise and worship. No, we just preach the Word. So the enemy, remember, we're not wrestling against the person. Now the person has to submit to that spirit, not our spirit. Remember, we're of the same Spirit of God. But he has to submit to that spirit to steal, kill, destroy, be mean, fight. All the things that are happening in this world. You on the other side are protected if you'll what? Preach the Word. Amen. You're protected if you'll what? Preach the Word. Not your opinion. The Word of God. And what have we established before? God is good. So everything that's good comes from above God. Anything bad, confusing, steals, kills, and destroys does not come from our God. It comes from an enemy called the devil who comes. He's the author of confusion. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Preach the Word. And we'll be fine. Yeah, there's times when you got to keep your mouth shut. But there's times, most of the time, when you better start preaching the Word. Come on. You got to start preaching that Word. If not, you're going to fall into having to be doing things their way. No. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs. That Declaration of Independence was signed by a whole lot more preachers than other people. The Bible is in our Declaration and Constitution in all kinds of ways. It just doesn't say this came from 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's going to take us standing up and saying, you know what, we need to get prayer back into school. You know what? We need to start speaking the truth out of love and start loving on these people who are so confused that they think they're a kitty cat. They need to come live with a rancher a little bit. They'll find out they don't want to be a cat. We catch them by in a trap. You know, well, not kitty cats, but... Father, thank you so much for just the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that, man, we're just living in a time that we need your Word more than anything. So we confess right now that we're going to continue to preach the Word. Say that. We're going to continue to preach the Word of God and nothing else. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory be to God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never met the Lord Jesus. And here's what I mean by that. If you died and you stood before God, and the Bible says that every person individually will stand before God one day. The Bible calls that the Great Judgment Day. And when you stand before Him, Jesus, His Son, will be beside Him. I know they're one, but Jesus, the Son of God, will be there with this book called the Book of Life. And as you stand before God, Jesus is going to have this book. While you're here on this earth and you've confessed Jesus as Lord, sometime your name is going to be recorded in that book. Some believe your name's already in the book, but if you decide to not receive Jesus, it's blotted out. Doesn't matter to me. I just want my name in that book. Because if your name's in the book of life, Jesus is going to say to the Father, Father Corey Ross, on May the 10th, 1979, gave his life to me, and his name is recorded right here. Then the Father's going to say to me, because I'm standing before Him, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy and the rest of the Lord heaven. Come on in. You know where the Bible says that God's not a man that He could lie? There's only one way to get to the Father in heaven according to John 14. It's through Jesus. But none of us can make you give your life to Him. We cannot make someone confess that Jesus is Lord. You're going to have to do it by yourself. And when you pray it, you're going to have to believe by faith that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. But if you choose not to do that, and you can, God gave you a will. If you choose not to give your life to Jesus, you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, you have that right, y'all. Man, God's so awesome that He doesn't force Himself on you in any way. He just lays it before you. And you've got to choose it. But if you choose to not receive Jesus as Lord, Romans 10:9, confessing Jesus as Lord and believing that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you choose not to do that, then when you stand before God, and you will, He'll have to say, depart from me. Y'all, that's why I leave and travel. And I'm away from my own church for a little bit of time. It's because I don't want anybody to die and go to a place called hell. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You don't know what God would say to you if you died and left this earth. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you leave this earth. I want you to confess Jesus as Lord through a prayer right now. And all of us are going to pray this prayer. But when you pray it, you're going to say, Jesus, come into my life and save me. And if you do, when you leave, you'll bust heaven wide open. So it's real time. Is Jesus the Lord of your life or is He not? Have you confessed Him as Lord? If not, do it right now with all of us. You ready? And I want you to do it out loud because the Bible says we're going to confess Jesus as Lord. And all of the believers in here, we're going to pray it with you. So let's all pray just like this. Say out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that simple prayer and you meant it, and you did it this morning for the first time, the Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing for you. But here's something that we do at our church. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want right where you're standing or sitting, possibly. Or maybe you're watching us online. If you just confessed and gave Jesus your life for the very first time this morning, when I count to three, I want boldness to come to you. I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand and say, God, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it. And Jesus is now my Lord. And then put your hand right back down. Don't be afraid of that. Jesus wasn't ashamed or afraid to die for us. Please don't be ashamed or afraid to confess Him before a man. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, get that hand up when I say three. One, two, three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. I'm honored to call you my brother. If you didn't raise your hand, just raise it up and let me see it. I saw yours. Man, I thank you for that. Really appreciate that. Glory be to God. Look at me, everybody. Man, I'm telling you, thank God. As y'all know, I was raised in churches where if 10 got saved the whole year, that was a big deal. And we have people saved almost every single Sunday. And I can't tell you what God's doing in this church. Don't miss the services of this church, even if your pastor is gone for a time. I'll be back. It was an honor to be here. Did y'all receive the word of God out of love? Amen.